We all know the purpose of this weekend, don't we? It's the beginning of summer. And for those people who love the outdoors and who love heat and who love humidity and who love bugs, and they mark this occasion with firing up the grills and hamburgers and beer and ice cream and maybe even a parade, that's what it's all about. Boaters love Memorial Day weekend very much, and so do college students, and I think it's because of the beer, probably. Workers love it too because they get a paid holiday and they don't have to go to work. That is the purpose of Memorial Day, as far as many people are concerned. But when you stop and think about it, they're missing the point, and we know they're missing the point. And we know that they don't understand the purpose of this day. The first Memorial Day was in 1868. It was at the end of the Civil War. And it was a day in which the nation gathered in Arlington Memorial Cemetery to honor the dead from that war. And James Garfield made a speech that day, and this is part of what he said. I am oppressed with a sense of the impropriety of uttering words on this occasion. If silence is ever golden, it must be here. Beside the graves of 15,000 men whose lives were more significant than speech, and whose death was a poem, the music of which can never be sung. Wow, that was one poignant speech. And it began an annual observance to honor the dead in war and to minister to those who were left behind, and the family members and the friends who grieved. After all, that's primarily what funerals are for, and that's to honor the dead and to minister to us who are left behind. So, how can we observe Memorial Day effectively? Well, by firing up the grill and pouring a few more beers and opening the swimming pools, because that's the beginning of summer. Yay! We miss God's purpose. Now, all of that, as I was preparing this sermon, all of that made me wonder. And I'm going to take a big turnaround here. It made me wonder, Harry, how many times in your life do you miss God's purpose for you? Not just Memorial Day, but God's purpose in my life. And then I started thinking about you guys, and I thought, how many of you miss God's purpose for you in your life? And I want to explore that question. I want to explore it primarily from this standpoint: making decisions. So I'm abandoning Memorial Day. I'm taking an entirely different course here. Stay with me. Are you facing any decisions in your life right now? Do you have any adult children or grandchildren who are facing decisions in their lives right now? What is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose for them at this point in your life and in their lives? Here's a hypothetical example. Your adult son is married and has children and lives in this area, but he has been offered a job for a higher salary in a different state. Should he take that job? or not? And then questions start going through his mind. How will this affect my spouse? How will this affect my children? Will the housing costs be higher there or lower there? What about taxes? What are the taxes like over there? Will my salary increase cover those increased expenses? What are the schools like there? Is this a good time in my children's lives to relocate? I wonder what the traffic is like. How often will I get to see my family if I move there? Questions, questions, questions. But did you notice that one of the most important questions is missing from that list? And that question is, what is God's purpose for me in this decision? Let's use a different illustration. This one may hit more closely to home for some of us. Should I downsize and move into a retirement home? What will I do with all my stuff? Can I afford it? Will I be seeing my family if I move there? What about my church? What if I get there and I don't like it? Questions, questions, but the question is still missing in that list. We could talk about all sorts of decisions in our lives. Like, for instance, should I have that surgery or not have that surgery? Should I take that trip or not take that trip? Should I attend that church? Should I tithe? Questions, questions, questions. I think every true Christian wants to know God's purpose in their lives on all of the questions. They want God's guidance. They would love to be able to make an appointment and sit across the table from him and say, God, what should I do? What is your will for my life? What is the purpose that you have for me? Of course, it is not that easy because as we live in this life, of course, we go through a process when we're trying to make decisions. You go through a process when you're trying to make decisions. Let's talk about that process just a moment. And this is going to be a fairly practical discussion, much of which you probably already know. But my question is, do you follow this process? First step. What do you think the first step is in the process? Is it to pray? Or is it the Word of God? A lot of Christians would say the first step is pray, but I want to differ. I want to say the first step in the process is to turn to the Word of God. That is basic Christianity 101. If you make a decision, brothers and sisters, to do something that is contrary to the Word of God, He will not bless it. Do you want Him to not bless it? Of course not. The Westminster Confession of Faith is a document that originated in the Reformed tradition and it was adopted in the Protestant Church of England, and then it was adopted also by the Presbyterian denomination. And many of you came from the Presbyterian denomination and you are familiar with this Westminster Confession of Faith. And here is a classic statement from that statement of faith. It says, the Word of God, as contained in the Old and New Testaments, is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Ooh. Now listen to Psalm 119, verse 105. Your Word, Lord, Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow Your righteous laws. Now, let's apply that to some practical situations. God wants you to have Christian fellowship. If you decide not to have Christian fellowship, then you will be contrary to God's purpose for your life as Christians, and He will not bless that. Here's another one. You're not going to like this one, but maybe you will. If you decide not to tithe for any reason, budget's tight, gas prices are going up. If you decide not to tithe, that is contrary to God's word. And He will not bless that. You need to keep God's holy word in your head and in your heart, close to your head, close to your heart, so that you would never make such decisions as those. God cannot bless your choices if they are contrary to His word. Now, with that said, let's move to the next step in the process, and that is to pray. For many of us, especially those with a type A personality, we tend to jump right in and list the pros and the cons of our decisions. That's me. I'm a planner. I like to plan. I like to make lists. And as I've learned to use the computer, I love Excel and Word and tables. I am very comfortable when I analyze all of the situations from all sides. Anybody in here like me? There's nothing wrong with that unless it is your only method of making a decision. And you know what? More men are guilty of that than women. Hank just gave me a face. I'm stepping on toes, I guess. IR1. Before you start listing the pros and the cons, did you pray? Before you start listing the, did you pray? And what should you pray? Well, maybe you should begin with James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he or she should ask God. God is wisdom personified. Why do we even attempt to make big decisions or small decisions in our lives without His wisdom, using our limited wisdom? How stupid. I'll tell you why we do that. The devil said, eat that fruit. Because if you eat that fruit, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like God. Not. Resist the devil and rely on God. Oh, that's alliteration, isn't it? I like that. Resist the devil and rely on God. He cares about everything in your life. His eye is on the sparrow. Now you know why I chose that song. He cares about everything. What did Jesus say? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Okay. Step one is God's word. Step two is prayer. And here is step three. I make list. Did you notice? Proverbs 20, verse 18. Make plans by seeking advice. Proverbs 13, 10. Wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 12, 15. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. There are at least 50 more verses in the book of Proverbs alone that say the same thing. Whenever you're facing a decision, brothers and sisters, a small one or a big one, you should seek counsel. But be careful. seek it from a godly man or a godly woman. Hopefully, that will include some of your family members. But you can't count on that. It's not always the case. They may love you, and you may love them with all your heart. And they may even give you some good advice, but God made it clear in His Word to seek the counsel of believers. Psalm 1:1. The first verse of the first psalm says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." This is 1 John 2:15. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The truth is that some of the people in our lives, I really am thinking about some of our family members right now, may be lovers of the world and not lovers of God. And they would not be the best people to give you advice when you really want to know God's purpose for your life. Will they want to give you their opinion? Yes. Will you listen to their opinion? Yes, because you love them. But don't be swayed by the advice of anyone who is not following the Lord Jesus Christ. So far, in our process, we have said it is the Word, it is prayer, and it is godly counsel. Here's the next thing we need to consider. The next step, Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others." Let's apply that. When a big decision is on the table, some people become very self-centered. It's natural. It's natural. They can have on blinders, and they just cannot see what they need to see. They can't see how that decision can affect the lives of others, their loved ones and others. That can happen in a marriage. One spouse may really want to do something so much that he or she is determined to move ahead regardless of what it does to their spouse. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. And that is when seeking the counsel, the godly counsel of others, can be extremely beneficial. They can probably see the blinders that you don't even realize you're wearing. And that can also be very complicated, especially if it affects your friends and your family members who are giving you advice, but who do not follow God. So, we need the final step. The final step in this process. And this is where the Holy Spirit is vital. You finally make a decision and you receive God's sense of a wonderful peace. Ever been there? That's one of the primary ways that God confirms His hand in the process. Isaiah 26:3, "Lord, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in You." The problem, of course, is knowing when that peace is real or manufactured by yourself. You see, when other people disagree with us, it's kind of easy to disarm them by saying, but I have a sense of peace. It can be selfish. It can be manipulative. Remember Paul's instructions, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain deceit. Be sure that that peace is real. How do you do that? The answer is as simple and as complicated as what Jesus himself said to us about knowing the shepherd's voice. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you walk closely with God, your spirit will be in tune with his voice. If not, the voice you hear may be your own voice, or even the devil's voice. With all of that said, receive some comfort. God can fulfill his purpose in your life, even when you mess up and you make bad decisions. Been there, done that. And I suspect all of us have been there and done that before. Thank God for his grace and his love and his protection and his patience, because we're stupid. We're all like sheep gone astray. Only he is wise. Psalm 57:2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose in me. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will make your paths straight. And finally, Psalm 5:8. Lead me, Lord, in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. Father God, we place our lives in your hands. And all those decisions, small and large, that we have to make in this life. Because there's no better place for us to be than in your holy hands. And may we never miss your purpose, your plans for us. Because we know that they are perfect and we are not. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.